The New Testament reading today is Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. Now, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared with them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make you three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. Then Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us." Well, it's Transfiguration Sunday. And I have to admit, I woke up with a little bit of a smile on my face and a sense of anticipation and just a touch of reluctance. And it's that Sunday between Epiphany and the beginning of Lent, and some excitement because I'm ready for the change, and a bit of reluctance because it means I should have Lent things planned. But I'm wondering how many of you woke up and said, "Ooh, Transfiguration Sunday." I mean, I know there are some church nerds among you that were aware of it, and I praise such things. I mean, maybe you knew it was something different because you read the bulletin, it said Transfiguration Sunday, or you thought, "We are going to sing that hymn we sing once a year and no one really knows." Phyllis Tickle, who's an author, says, when she talks about Transfiguration Sunday, that it seems to suffer from the greatest degree of popular acceptance. Ironically, it also enjoys the greatest degree of popular indifference. I think what she's hinting to is in the Christian tradition, all the branches, Orthodox, Protestant, Old Catholic, all the branches celebrate this day. I mean, the event is recorded in the Gospels in a number of places, and there are three independent witnesses that saw what was going on. It's more like it just kind of happened, and yeah. But really, did you hear what this is about? According to the story, three grown men see Jesus transformed, and then two historical figures, Moses and Elijah, move back and forth through time, and they speak, and then God speaks to them. And our reaction to this is, what an interesting bit of story. We kind of intellectually accept it without any wonder. I really wish we'd say, I can't deal with this story because it's so mysterious, I cannot even grasp it. I don't really think that kind of happens. It's more like, here it is again. It's one of those odd stories. And we just kind of walk around the story on our way to Lent and Easter. But I want to invite us this morning to just maybe walk into the story a little bit, into that transformational time. I mean, it helps to put the story in its place a bit. Previously in the Gospel of Matthew, Peter has confessed that Jesus is Messiah. It's really insightful for him. And Jesus, right after that, shares that the Messiah will suffer and be killed and rise again. And he's talking to the disciples about this is, means you're going to have to take up the cross and follow in order to save one's life. You're going to lose it. I mean, it's just, it's big talk. And Jesus is beginning his journey to Jerusalem when we enter. And the story finds us 6 days after Peter's confession. Did you get it? It's kind of parallels the 6 days in the Old Testament passage. And we kind of find ourselves in this in-between time. Jesus is kind of changing from being with the people to moving towards Jerusalem. It's kind of a hinge between he's just teaching and now he's walking to the place that he says he will die. And so Jesus leads Peter and James and John up to that high mountain. Now, I bet they're kind of used to that. Jesus, we're told, often would go away to be by himself, either to be quiet or to pray, or maybe just to get away from the crowds or the jabbering disciples. And maybe they also had kind of that echo of what we heard over there, of Moses being on the mountain and the Ten Commandments coming from there and insight and the holiness of that. But I can say for sure they never expected what happened to happen. I mean, they couldn't have been ready for that. There they are. Jesus is probably praying, I would guess. And all at once, Jesus is transformed, transfigured. They say it's like his face was shining like the sun, and his clothes turned white like the cleanest, brightest, bleached piece of clothing they'd ever seen. And then you have these two figures coming, Moses and Elijah, two heroes of the faith whom they had heard about and studied their whole life. Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, and Moses, the giver and interpreter of the law. And there they are. And Peter, he just kind of interrupts. He said, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let me make three dwellings, three booths, one for you and Moses and Elijah. I mean, I love Peter. He just didn't know what to do, so he did something. He said, let me help. And I always thought that, you know, Jesus kind of puts Peter down here. He doesn't. He just kind of ignores him. Good try. Don't worry about it. And what happens next? Well, we know then that this misty cloud comes along and they hear this voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. They hear the voice of God. And interesting, this word is for the disciples. God is speaking to them. And so rightly, they kind of fall on their knees and they are, as they'd say in the South, scared of what is happening. And then Jesus touches them. I love that. He touches them and speaks for the first time. He says, do not be afraid. We're going to walk down this mountain. And when we walk down, you don't tell anybody about this until after I have come back. It's kind of a mysterious story. You know, there aren't a lot of pictures. I was hoping to get a bulletin cover that talks about this, really. Let's get a bulletin about the transformation. Not so much. But it's a beautiful, stunning, kind of wild event. And the word transformation in here is very interesting. It's from the Greek word metamorphosis. Changed of form and content. Changed from the inside out. A form and content. That is a very different understanding. Doesn't mean like poof, an automatic kind of face change. It's a transformation that happens from the inside out. And I expect, in reality, Jesus had been transforming from the inside out all the days of his life and these last 3 years that he had been with his disciples. We don't often use the word transformation in our language, but you did. Did you hear it in the story? That's where he had heard transfigured, was from the Harry Potter series, which I love, where you change something radically. We tend to think about change more than transformation, you know, something kind of quick, I mean, I've probably confessed this. When I was in junior high, I had hair down to my waist, and I decided probably around the Winter Olympics that I wanted to look like Dorothy Hamill. Dorothy Hamill was an ice skater. You may know her from Dancing with the Stars, but she had this very thick, gorgeous hair. So I had my hair cut at a very classy place called Salon de France. Raphael was the hair cutter, and I had it cut, and he tried to tell me that I would not look like Dorothy Hamill, but I was sure I would. And guess what happened? Not so much. I didn't look like Dorothy Hamill. I wanted a quick change in my adolescent life, and I would love to tell you that I have learned from that, and I don't still want those quick changes. But if I tell the truth, about 3 months ago, I bought this extract called raspberry extract. If I was going to take that, I was going to lose weight magically. Have you noticed it? Right. So I still kind of buy into this quick change. I know I shouldn't. But I also want to hold fast onto those longings, because even a longing for a quick change is a change that something can happen, a hope that your life does not have to stay the way it is. And that's why I like Peter's kind of, let me build some boosts and try to keep this amazing time. It doesn't work quite like that. I think we as people of faith, we as people of the Jesus way, are hoping to have a transformation from the inside out. We're hoping to look more like the one we follow. We're hoping that we can kind of, and even if we're hoping, we should, that we will start claiming the fact that God loves us, that we have the Creator's kind of image and power in ourselves, and that we can become more and more like the one that we love. And that's not a quick thing. It happens slowly, but it also takes some awareness. It takes dedication and discipline. Ooh, it's such a popular word. But when I've looked at this passage before, I look for help in that transformational process. And I've probably said this before, that I had that image from my childhood of when you cross the street, stop, look, and listen before you cross the street. They don't say it anymore. They really need to say it in terms of go stop for like 3 minutes, listen for everything, and then cross. It was a good stop. But I think that kind of happens here in the scripture. Jesus took time apart. He stopped. He got away from that daily, and he went on that mountaintop. There was the sense that he would either quiet himself and he would encounter the presence of God. I think there was prayer up there. He certainly had that habit. And then there's a sense that looking, that something visual happened on that mountain. Something happened to Jesus, and the disciples saw it. They encountered something, and it stuck with them. I mean, that the encountering that holy, I think, started a transformation in them. And then they heard the word, the beloved, listen to him. They heard something. They heard a way to be. And I think we have to carry this awareness with us of stopping sometimes and longing for something that isn't so busy. That looking, being aware and longing to encounter a holy, to encounter the mysterious, to still witness God's power in this world, and then to listen. It doesn't say just listen quickly. Listen to how you might be changed. I think we're invited to be a part of the mystery of this createdness, of our destiny, of the divine. A change that happens to our very core. I mean, we have witnesses of this. I mean, think of this communion meal. We hear the story again and hope that we will receive and hear God's love for us, and then we will act like that which we have received. I mean, it's an interesting quote. Become what you receive in that bread and that wine. There's also some transformation that will happen today with the ordination questions. We have officers that are agreeing to serve today, elders and deacons. And I remember when I was ordained to be an officer 35 years ago at Central Presbyterian Church. I was 19 or 20 years old, And I will tell you, I don't remember any of these questions. What I remember is that those people laid hands on me and prayed on me and for me. And I think those hands were hands that were going to guide me, probably in my case, push me, kind of get me on the path. They held me, and it was like they represented the hands and the presence of God. See, I wasn't really ready to be an elder and a deacon. Here's the truth, I wasn't. But they worked with me, and a transformation has been going on for some 30 years. See, I read these questions now, and I think I could spend my whole life on these. The question, will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love neighbor, and work for the reconciliation of the world? They're going to say, I will. Those are big things. They really can't, but they can do it with you and with God's help. Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? They will say, I will, and I do. These questions, they're saying, God and I will work on this together. I'm really saying, I'm going to let God transform me. Isn't that a wild one? That when you say these questions, you're saying, God will transform you. And the truth is, this happens with all of you. Not just officers and deacons. You are saying yes to the possibility that there is this powerful and mysterious God who will seek transformation in your life in ordinary and stunning ways. But this God calls us to be alert and awake and to listen. And then maybe if we're brave enough, share those moments with one another. For God calls us to seek and to serve and to let people know that they are God's beloved on this earth. It's a radical thing you're a part of in this church. We're a group of people who seek to follow in the way of Jesus, to seek and maybe even just let God begin to transform in us. So welcome to the mystery. Welcome to stepping in to this radiance, to this power, to that which cannot be explained but still is. Go and live like your God's beloved this day and forevermore. Amen.